Letters pop out from a white background and turn red. Netflix. In white letters on black, a Netflix documentary, a Green Media and Violet Films production. A man runs with a stretcher towards a smoking building. Men enter the bombed-out structure, picking their way through the ruins. A little girl is picked up in the smoke and dust. More survivors are carried out as another bomb comes down.
Allahu Akbar!
Dust and smoke engulf the view. Titles inform, after 5 years of war, over 400,000 Syrians have been killed and millions have fled their homes. In areas out of regime control, those who remain rely on a group of volunteers dedicated to saving anyone in need. The title in white capitals, The White Helmets. Aleppo City, Syria. A man in uniform places some small pieces of wood into a stove and sets light to them. He looks into the flames and closes the small circular door of the stove. The man sits with a little girl. I'm married. I have a small daughter. Her name is Amal. The little girl places a white helmet on her father's head. Kiss me. Don't give mum a hard time, okay? My family is very important to me. I'm always worrying about them. I have a strong belief in my work for the White Helmets. The man is Khaled Farah, former builder. But every time I'm on a rescue mission, I think about them. Khaled calls up to an apartment. Abu Omar. Hello, where is your dad? Where is Abu Omar? He's ready. Is he ready? Okay, tell him to come down and we'll go to the center. Abu Omar, former blacksmith. The morale of the White Helmets is always high. We are always ready to respond to incidents. But we just hope that the bombing and airstrikes stop. Abu Omar goes downstairs. Mum, where are you? Abu Omar, we have to admit that the situation in Syria is going from bad to worse. There is no solution on the horizon. The situation is sad. Syria is sad. Abu and Khalid walk down a bombed-out street with ruined buildings and piles of rubble. A man reads the Quran in Arabic script. Before joining the White Helmets, I was with an armed group. I fought for the opposition for 3 months, but I saw that the regime's campaign was targeting civilians. And I thought, it's better to do humanitarian work than to be armed. Better to rescue a soul than to take one. Mohammed Farah, former tailor. Mohammed, Abu and Khalid meet with others at the White Helmet Center, Ansari District, Aleppo. A guy skids up on his motorcycle. The men sit and eat. The White Helmets dash outside and use a handheld radio. Cloud of smoke erupts over the low-rise city. It's the Russians. Come on, guys, quickly. Go. The men get into a truck. They drive fast towards the scene. Make a turn and come back. The team continues on foot, running towards the explosion. Abu Omar, we, the White Helmets, are the first to arrive when there is a bombing. A boy stares in shock at the camera. Other children are helped away. A White Helmet carries a child wrapped in a blanket. A man points up at a wrecked apartment block. Walls and floors have collapsed, revealing the rooms within. If you don't have some courage, you wouldn't continue doing what we do. Go here. Abu Omar. Any human being, no matter who they are or which side they're on, if they need our help, it is our duty to save them. Abu Omar directs the rescue standing on the rubble. A rescuer rushes upstairs. Does anybody need rescuing? There's nothing, right? Abu Ferris lives there, but I don't know whether he was in or out. Here? He's got an iron door. We can't get a sense if he's in or not. Can we get in via your balcony? Khalid Farah. Whenever I'm on a rescue, I try as hard as possible to save every person buried under the rubble, whether they are young or old. I consider them all to be my family. He usually goes out during the day and comes back at night. There's nothing more upstairs, right? There's nothing, but just check on Abu Mahmoud. There's broken glass, but the apartment seems empty. There's no one here. Thank God. Brother, ask people about him and keep an eye out for him. Don't forget about him. Whatever you need, we're the White Helmets. One of the team reports to camera. There are a number of injuries and possibly two people killed. The White Helmets linger as people hang around in shock and children are carried to safety. Abu Omar. There is nothing more. We're heading back to the centre. They drive through dust and smoke. A man appears to have come off his motorcycle. A title informs, formed in 2012, the White Helmets, also known as the Syria Civil Defense, is an organization of 2,900 civilians working in 120 centers across much of the country. The team helped the injured amid swirling smoke and dust. They pull someone out of shattered concrete and twisted wire. There are ruined buildings and chunks of broken concrete. White Helmet teams respond to scores of airstrikes every day. A fire burns and smoke billows. Khalid Farah, former builder. I've been with the White Helmets for 3 years. I've seen many people who have died in bombings. I've also seen many people who were rescued alive. Abu Walid, give me a crowbar. I want to look under the mattress. The team work at a bombed-out building. But the hardest thing is seeing dead bodies. This affects me a lot. Guys, don't come closer. Get me a corpse bag. Khalid Farah, this is my duty and my job. I have to do it for the people, the civilians. Only her relatives, please. People who are not doing anything, please leave. Her hand is stuck. A team are working to dig out the body. As the rescuers work to free the body, plastic sheeting is unfolded. One of the team scans the blue sky. A fighter jet passes overhead. They drive through the city. They've struck. Get down. On the ground. People hunker down, and the team get back in their truck. The team speeds off towards a column of smoke rising above the city. Mohamed Farah. The situation is very difficult in Syria right now, especially with Russia's intervention to support the regime. They say they are fighting ISIS, but they are targeting civilians. The casualties are rising daily. The bloodbath is not stopping. A man carries a girl down a street. Khalid Farah. I've lost two colleagues, very dear and precious to my heart. They were taking part in a rescue of civilians. A week before, we had all been together, working, eating and drinking. A truck blows up, and the person holding the camera is blown over in the blast. And then they were dead. Abu Omar. Many of my colleagues have been killed. In Aleppo city alone, we lost 30 white helmets. A man lies covered in blood. A little boy. Dad, please don't leave me. Mohamed Farah. All lives are precious and valuable. A child, even if he is not my son, is like my son. I cannot explain it. As an example, I'll tell you a story that happened to us in Aleppo. Two barrel bombs were dropped in the Al-Ansari area. Smoke and dust swirls. The first one left a number of people wounded, but the second barrel bomb killed a lot of people. Khalid Farah, we went into the area. It was like a small village made of 10 houses, and all the buildings have been leveled to the ground. The victim is removed on a stretcher. Mohamed Farah, on that day our work was very hard, and we worked for about 16 hours. A white helmet climbs down into the ruins. Abu Omar, I thought that I was searching under the rubble for a baby that had died. But all glory is to God, we were not meant to leave the area without hearing a sound. When I heard the sound of a baby, my feeling was indescribable. Mohamed Farah, this gave us renewed strength to continue to work. It gave us hope that some people were still alive. Handheld footage shows the team digging in the rubble with lights on their helmets. People mill around outside after dark. Some debris is carefully removed near the trapped child. Abu Omar. After 16 hours under the rubble, a baby less than a month old, still alive under the dust, under the ceilings that had fallen on him. The baby is carefully pulled out from the collapsed concrete. The rescuers in tears. Mohamed Farah. We called him the miracle baby. The baby was 1 week old, and at that time my own son, Abdul Hamid, was almost 2 weeks old. I don't know how it came to my mind, but I imagined that this was my son, and I started to cry. I couldn't hold it in. And all my colleagues started to cry. Cut to black. A title announces Southern Turkey. A bus travels down a four-lane highway with members of the White Helmets team on board. A title explains, most White Helmet volunteers have no prior rescue experience. To help them cope, teams often leave Syria for month-long training courses in Turkey. The men eat under an awning at picnic tables. A man arrives and shakes hands. He's Raed Saleh, leader of the White Helmets. Raed Saleh, the hope is that you guys will convey the information you're learning to other White Helmets in Syria. We're under a lot of pressure right now to train as many people as we can. God willing. Turkish trainer briefs them via a translator. Today, we will review listening devices for locating people trapped under the rubble. They practice with concrete slabs. Can anybody hear me? A signal is sent by pounding on the concrete. Don't move. The translator. If you can't hear anything, move the position of the sensor. Khalid Farah. It's a hard feeling being away from your family, but life requires sacrifice. So now we are sacrificing a whole month to gain expertise. Khalid practices abseiling. A powerful circular saw is started up. Water is sprayed on the saw blade as it's lowered towards concrete. A square of concrete is cut and lifted away. A colleague volunteer is lifted out of the hole on a stretcher. This training course means we'll gain a lot of experience. Our job depends on speed and accuracy to be able to save lives and extract victims from under the rubble. Abu Omar, former blacksmith. A pile of rubble and concrete slabs at the training camp. Is anybody here from Hayyan? Two White Helmets were killed from there. Guys, Marwan and Ahmad Dabul were killed and their brother is injured. All three are White Helmets from Hayyan. Today? Yesterday. All White Helmets are targeted. We're all targets. We were training on the ropes when they sent us the news. Read the opening chapter of the Quran for their souls. May God accept them. The men pray.
إن سوريا كل العالم بتابع أخبار.
Abu Omar. Everyone knows the truth about Syria, but no one's been able to stop the killing and fighting, or stop the bloodshed and the massacres that are being committed. A view across a twilight city. TV coverage shows fires burning and bomb damage. On a phone, early reports suggest 15 people have been killed so far. Mohammed Farah. Is the area populated? On the phone, a wedding hall was completely destroyed, and five or six buildings. Mohammed Farah. Abu Omar wants to talk to you, to check on his brother and son. They work in that area. Okay. Abu Omar. Hello? Hello? I can't get hold of my brother or my son. I'm sorry to be bothering you, but please, can you go and check on them and update me? Abu Omar. Just go to my brother's, okay? And he will find my son. They watch the TV. Khalid Farah. This must be the strongest car bomb to ever hit Aleppo. Mohammed Farah. I didn't know who was speaking. Abu Omar. Who? Mohammed Farah. Listen to it. Abu Omar. My son. This is my son. On the phone. In my whole life, I've never seen so much destruction. Abu Omar. This is my son. Mohammed Farah. Yeah, thank God. Abu Omar. But brother, what's really the difference between my son and another person's? Aren't they all innocent? What's their sin? Whoever it is. Mohammed Farah. ISIS on the ground and Russian planes from above. Abu Omar. Six buildings. I feel cold. Abu Omar puts on a jacket. The moon rises behind clouds. Dawn mist hangs over the minarets and roofs of a city. Khalid Farah. There is no war here. No devastation. No destruction. Just by crossing a border. It's so strange how the situation can change. He looks up at a bird in the sky. A plane flies overhead. Khalid stares up at the sky. Wind ruffles trees, and a helicopter flies over. Mohammed Farah. If this was in Syria, it would have been dropping cluster bombs from that height. We see so many cluster bombs. Man answers, really? Mohammed Farah. It would not drop barrel bombs because they want to cause more harm. The man. There is a sound. We can now differentiate between Mohammed Farah, the sound of military and civilian aircraft. The man. Take shelter, hero. Mohammed Farah. Where would I take shelter in this building? If a barrel bomb fell here, it would destroy the whole building. Mohammed Farah, former tailor. My son is almost 2 years old. He knows all about warplanes. When planes fly over and there's an airstrike, my son jumps up on my lap and says, Daddy, a bomb. Objects fall from a helicopter. Bombs burst in great clouds of smoke. A fireman in breathing apparatus cranks a siren. the translator. Now you will learn how to give a practical lesson to the trainees about putting out fires. What is the most important thing? The trainer, safety. The men use an extinguisher on a controlled blaze. A reporter on TV. The suffering of civilians has entered a new chapter with Russia's air campaign. There are record levels of shelling, especially over Aleppo. On a phone, I am telling you about 200 air raids a day, and the new rockets are not like the old ones. A team member. 200 air raids a day, and every rocket is ruining a full neighborhood. The team practice firefighting. A high-pressure hose creates a wall of water. Two men listen to a phone. Abu Omar reads out a message. You white helmets, you are heroes. May God protect you. Khalid Farah. I am really worried, but I trust in God to protect my family and my colleagues. The men wear breathing equipment, and fire blazes. Fires are fought for real. A car burns, and firefighters climb into a burning building. Smoke swirls, and boots stomp through water in slow motion. Water pours, and a fighter flies overhead. Explosions flash all over a neighborhood, and smoke rises slowly. Dusk falls over the town in Turkey.
The latest slaughter in Syria is a war crime, say France and Turkey, for the UN missile attacks on hospitals and schools in rebel-held areas that left up to 50 civilians dead were a violation of international law. Médecins Sans Frontières says either the Syrian government or its main supporter, Russia, was responsible.
Prayers are muttered and a man rubs his forehead in worry. His brother is under the rubble, but his condition is not yet known. Three people are still under the rubble, him and two of his colleagues. They were able to pull one out. There were four in the hospital laboratory. The worried man sits numbly. Abu Omar. I want him to cry. It's better. His friend, Abu Bashir. I was in a situation similar to Abu Zaid. My brother was killed 5 months ago. I had a training course like this one in Istanbul. I went there and arrived in the morning. You know, it's a long way. I slept a few hours. When I awoke, I asked my friend to open the internet for me, as I didn't know how. I had my brother's phone at the time. I got online and saw my brother's photo, dead. It was the first photo I saw. A man's fiddling with his helmet. What's next, Ibrahim? Ibrahim, we've stopped. Done for the day. Abu Bashir, we're not able to do any more work. Ibrahim, emotionally we can't. Yes, right. A man called Hamid on the phone from Syria. We've just got two women out alive. Do you understand me? And we got out Ala al-Halak and another person with him, dead. Abu Bashir, are you listening or are you speaking with him? You speak with him, Abu Bashir.
Ya Hamid, Ya Hamid.
Can you hear me? I'm Abu Bashir. Tell us the news. Has Abu Karmu been killed or have you pulled him out alive? Just tell us. His brother is confused and does not know what to do. Hamid. Abu Bashir, just be patient for 30 minutes more and then call me back. I just spoke with the guys to find out if people are still alive. Listen to me. There were two killed. Abu Bashir. He understood from you that he's dead. The team member comforts Abu Zaid. Your brother is our brother. God bless him. Abu Bashir. So you still haven't got him out? Nothing is clear yet. Thanks, brother, and please do your best. I know we don't need to tell you, but you are real heroes. Images of the conflict on TV. Mohamed Farah. Today they hit all the hospitals in Aleppo and in Idlib. Now their targets are the hospitals. Are these today's victims from the hospital? Abu Zaid. Updated 9 minutes ago. His name is among them. Both men stare at the list. Abu Zaid sits on his bed, grieving. A title confirms Abu Zaid's brother died in the hospital bombings, along with 24 other civilians. Birds fly in blue skies, a prayer mat is laid down on a bedroom floor, and Abu Zaid prays. The white helmets find a little girl buried in rubble. Her blood stains the dusty, broken concrete. Mohamed Farah looks at photos of his son on his phone. A little girl is brought out from a bombed building alive. Abu Omar reads the Quran, mouthing the words. Rescuers dig in dusty rubble and find a buried child. Abu Zaid puts on a jacket in his room overlooking a highway at the Turkish training center. A man is carried out from a bombsite on a stretcher. The white helmets embrace. A man sits in despair as white helmets search through a house reduced to rubble. Abu Zaid straightens his clothes in a mirror. Sunlight filters through trees. Mohamed Farah. Tomorrow will be better. We are always optimistic that what's to come is better. Justice will prevail one day. The white helmets gather on the training ground. Abu Omar plays pensively with a blade of grass. Without hope, what good is life? People will die without hope. The tiny baby is saved from the collapsed building. Abu Omar, it's a feeling of happiness. True happiness you have to experience to understand. He smiles. A toddler visits the center. Mohamed Farah hugs the little lad. Mahmoud, the miracle baby. Abu Omar kisses him. Abu Omar, an indescribable happiness. A baby that I haven't seen for a year and a half. His is a very precious life. Mohamed Farah, do you know the feeling that you get when you plant a small seed and it grows into a beautiful bush? That's how we feel, that this baby is still alive, thanks to God and to our work. We feel very proud. The team all fuss over little Mahmoud. Mohamed Farah. Thank God he's alive and doing well. A white helmet is placed on Mahmoud's head. Abu Omar. I've learned many lessons from baby Mahmoud. Patience, persistence, hard work, and never lose hope. If a person is destined to live, no matter what happens, they will live. The team pose for photos with Mahmoud. Khalid Farah. I have a lot of hopes for my own daughter. I have lots of dreams for her, actually. When I come back from work and pick her up, I look at her, and I'm very sad about the fate of children who lost their lives during the shelling. But at the same time, I wish for her to fulfill her dreams and grow up to be many, many years old. White helmets pose for a photo with their index fingers raised. Others look serious, smile, look sad or solemn. A Turkish trainer addresses the white helmets and smiles. Spokesman Abu Zaid steps forward. He and the trainer embrace emotionally. Team members smile and pose for a group photo with their certificates of achievement. They get into a minibus and drive away. On board, they talk animatedly. Abu Omar, every morning I wake up and do this work because it's my duty, my humanitarian duty. I will never quit. Mohammed Farah, as long as I'm still alive, I'm willing to sacrifice my soul for the sake of the people. This job is sacred. Khalid Farah, I'm just trying to do something for the people and for my country. The white helmets dash down a cobbled street in handheld footage, running towards an incident. Abu Omar. In the white helmets, we have a motto. To save a life is to save all humanity. The view freezes on a white helmet running. Since 2013, more than 130 white helmets have been killed. In the same period, they have saved over 58,000 lives. Fade to black. Directed by Orlando von Einsiedel. Produced by Joanna Natasegara. Executive producers Jason Spingarn-Koff, Adam Del Deo, Lisa Nishimura. Director of photography Franklin Dow. Cinematography Fadi El Halabi, Hassan Katan, Khalid Khatib. Edited by Masahiro Hirakubo. Composer Patrick Johnson, featuring Mohammed Awis Aboud, Hussein Alassi, Mahmoud Mohammed Ali, Mahmoud Alush, known as Abu Omar, Ismail Alush, Najib Bakur, Khalid Farah, Mohammed Farah, Abul Moeen Al-Hamawiya, Hikmat Hassanato, Yasser Syed Hussein, Abdo Ibrahim, known as Abu Bashir, Mohammed El Ibrahim, Mohammed Sheikh Kadur, Omar Kazas, Khalid Khatib, Sofwan Khalaf, known as Abu Abdullah, Salah Al-Kosa, Hussein Mayouf, Mohammed Mayouf, Safwan Kazas, Mohammed Kitaz, known as Abu Zaid, Nur Saleh, Raed Saleh, Mahmoud Al-Satouf, Amma Mahmoud, and Miracle Baby Mahmoud. Copyright North Kivu Film Productions Limited, 2016. Further credits continue to scroll. light bulb glows in mauve darkness. Violet films. White letters form. Green media. The eye upside down like a leafless tree. Letters pop out from a white background and turn red. Netflix.